My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions.
Says, thus saith the Lord, I will raise up trouble against you from within your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in broad daylight. And then in chapter 16, that's what happens. Absalom wages a war against his own father, trying to take the throne from him. And in a display of force, he sleeps with 10 of David's wives.
Yeah. So, like, the explanation I found with, like, for this specific passage was that so Absalom's act of taking David's concubines was a political power move, which symbolized takeover of the throne. And then, like, this whole, like, ordeal was part of God's judgment on David after his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah's murder.
Right. Then, I agree.
And then the concubines here suffer the consequences of Absalom's rebellion, David's prior failures.
Yeah, we absolutely agree wholeheartedly on that. The problem is that the women didn't commit the sin, David did. So why are they the ones getting raped?
Well, that's like just how this world is, right?
Like, well, that's not how God is.
That's not how the world actually is nowadays. Maybe in some horrible places. But we've literally been able to do better than that.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that Bible teaches
God's, but God said he's the one doing it.
Well, that's because God is sovereign, right? So, like, technically speaking, everything from, like, the earth moving, like, to me talking to on this live, God is doing that. Like, he ordained this, and he knew this would happen.
So God ordains everything.
Yeah.
So right now, the child that's getting touched in one of your local churches, God ordained that. What a sick God.
Right. But the way the thing that
I think
the
you Bible made it worse, not better.
No, this is, I'm just telling you, like, this is what the Bible teaches. But that doesn't mean that, so I guess your question is, like, does the fact that God raises up evil, does that absolve Absalom of responsibility? And, like, the answer to that would be no, because
we're not talking about Absalom. We're talking about God's responsibility. I don't care what Absalom did. Absalom's not God. Okay. I'm not here to judge Absalom. He's an asshole. No one likes him.
Right.
Yeah, but so why would you whoever you think is the worst person in the world today, would you do to 10 innocent people as punishment against the worst person in the world today, like what we see in the Bible? I can scarcely think of anybody who calls themselves a human being that would do that kind of thing.
Is this, like, a problem with, like, whether or not God is just?
Sure.
I think it is. Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Do you think it's just to have women punished for crimes they never committed?
Well, I wouldn't think it's just to punish them for crimes they never committed.
Sure. So why would it be just if God did it?
Well, God's justice isn't about making sure no one suffers, right? It's about...
I never said anything about that. I'm saying he's intentionally causing somebody to suffer for somebody else's sin. That's not justice.
Well, God's justice was satisfied here because David was punished.
And so were the women, but they didn't sin.
Well, just because you didn't sin doesn't mean you won't get punished, though.
But the punishment was for what David did. They were punished for David's sin.
Well, David was also punished for David's sin.
I don't care. So were the women, and they didn't do the sin.
Yeah.
Ray, I remember the conversation we had last time, and it ended with me pleading with you to just be honest. Stop. Take your Jesus blood goggles off and be honest with the text. If you read this in the Quran, you would condemn it, and you would say that is horrific. You're only trying to justify it because it's part of your religion.
What I'm trying to say is that, like, people get punished for other people's sin, like, all the time, right?
And that's, but should it happen on purpose?
Should it happen? Like, in an ideal world, no, right?
But okay, does God control the parameters of the world?
Yes.
Okay, does God have control over how David gets punished?
Yeah.
Okay, could God have punished David without having the wives raped?
Yes.
Cool. So then having the wives raped was unnecessary. God's a barbarian.
Maybe, but this is like saying, like, why didn't God just create the world, like, instead of
having... No, it's not even close to the same thing. Wait. We're literally only talking about this one moment in history. I'm asking you, why did God consciously make a decision to harm somebody for somebody else's sin?
Because, like, why did God do that?
Well, we know why. I'm asking why you're trying to justify it right now. Why are you bending over backwards into a pretzel trying to justify this when you know it's horrific?
Wait, let me ask like a question, like, and then like you tell me if that's like, because I feel like this is kind of similar. Because this is like in my mind, this is like asking why didn't God just, instead of like replace every continent with the Bahamas and then guarantee everyone...
Ray, this has nothing to do with world suffering. This is... The question is it justified to purposely inflict harm on somebody for crimes they never committed? That's the only topic we're talking about right now.
Because this isn't the kind of thing where you can defer the judgment off of God. Like people say, well, God doesn't create the natural disasters. He allows them to happen, but he didn't make them happen. Or why does God allow evil things to happen? Well, he lets people exercise their free will. This is completely different because this is on God. He's the one. I can't believe I just said on God. This, but he's the one. God is the one doing this. So there's no deflecting in this case.
Wait, I believe God is the one like making natural disasters happen.
Okay, well, I'm just saying you can't right? deflect it. So we don't let's stay on topic. But why is God the one doing this?
Like my answer to that would just be like I don't know like why God does anything, right? Because God.
Okay, then on what grounds can we say that what this God does is good?
On what grounds?
Yes.
Well, the reason we say God is good is because he's patient, because...
Wait. He's not.
That's very untrue. He's quite capricious, actually.
Very much so, yeah.
Okay, the reason we say God is good is... I mean, my first thought would be, as he said.
So, would an evil God say that he's evil or good?
Let me find it real quick.
Would an evil God? I mean, if he's trying to trick, if there was an evil God and he's like trying to trick you, then he would say he's good, right? But if he's just
exactly
that's exactly what it reads like. You know, God in the garden, God said, "Don't do this thing," and then the snake was like, you should, and it actually wouldn't be that bad. And then later on, God says things like, don't, like, unjustly kill people and do these other things. And then later, these people are told by something, hey, go and commit all these atrocious acts that are contradictory to what I told you earlier. Now, to me, makes way more sense. I don't believe in either thing, but it would make way more sense that every time that happens, it's actually the bad guy doing the talking. Or maybe God just is the bad guy.
Well, and we can test this logic. Ray, can I tell you a story from the Quran?
Sure.
There's a story in the Quran about a, we'll call it a second tier prophet under Muhammad, who is sent to give a word condemning somebody. So he goes and gives this word to condemn this household. And then He's given instructions. While you're gone, don't have any food. Don't lodge in anyone's house. Don't stay the night there. Don't consume any of their food. Go do your thing and come back. Now, on the way back from his journey, he meets another prophet. There's another prophet, and the other prophet invites him to lodge at his place. And he says, no, I can't. You know, the Lord told me not to. And the other prophet says, no, it's okay. God spoke to me, and he said, it's okay. So the guy lodges at the guy's place for the night. And then the next morning, God gets pissed off and sends a lion to go kill the first prophet for listening to the second prophet. Is that a justified behavior?
Wait, so is it because the first prophet disobeyed God?
Yes.
Wait,
is
that what happened? Because he was tricked. Another prophet, who actually was a prophet, told him, it's okay, God told me, God gave me a word that it's okay. And so he trusted in this other prophet, and it turned out that it wasn't true, and so God sent a lion to go kill him the next morning.
I'm gonna be honest,
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Like, from what you said, like, my instinct would be to say that's not a good thing, but I also don't, I'm like unfamiliar with the story in the Quran and like what
people it'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it?
But yeah, like, if
would it,
I just
would it be better like, if I told you that's actually in the Bible?
Sure. Wait. Like, what passage are you pointing to?
It's in the book of Kings.
Which king?
The book of Kings. I think it's in 1 Kings. Probably around 15 or 16.
Okay, 1 Kings.
Let me find it for you.
Abijah, Asa, Nadab, Baasha.
Could be 2 Kings. I'll find it. Don't waste your time looking for it.
Okay. I think we should probably not talk about this because
I'm 1 Kings 13.
1 Kings 13.
Yep.
Isn't it weird how when you heard it was from the Quran, you could just easily say that doesn't sound good, but now that it's in the Bible, you have to find a way to justify it? This is called special pleading. Being honest.
It still doesn't sound good, but like I can't say anything on the passage if I'm unfamiliar about it.
Like I don't know what like it doesn't say next, JKLOL NVM. Like, this guy was killed by a lion by God for the crime of being tricked by a man who lied to him, saying that, oh no, I'm also a man of God. You can dine with me, when God told him in the first place, whatever you do, don't eat anything. So, I mean, like, being killed by a lion or by any means, whatever, for being tricked is just... doesn't make any moral sense really to anybody. And what we would probably say is the point of the story, the moral of the story, is to obey God, like, no matter what, you know, which is just coercion. There's no logical, moral righteousness to be found in there.
Do you want me to like read out the explanation of the passage, or do you want me to
We already know the passage. I just told you the story. The question is it justified to kill somebody with lions because they were tricked by a person that was supposedly God's mouthpiece?
I feel like there's more to the story than like what you're telling me here, right?
They always do. You thought that I was fooling you on 2 Samuel 12, and then we read it, and it's just as horrific as what I said. You think I'm making up things on this one?
I feel like I don't think like that's the application from this passage though. But I can't really on this specific passage because I haven't I haven't read it, I haven't really studied it. So like nothing I say about the passage would have any value at this moment.
Right, yeah. Do you think that little children should be mauled by bears if they make fun of a prophet?
Isn't that for Elisha?
Almost, it's Elisha. Wait, in 2 Kings chapter 2.
I only kind of remember what that story, but story was.
Yeah, I'll read it for you. It says, referring to Elisha, he went up from there to Bethel, and while he was going up on the way, some small boys came out of the city and jeered at him, saying, "Go away, bald head, go away, bald head." When he turned around and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then the two she-bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the boys.
Okay, I actually kind of know this story. I could read you, like, what it's about, like, the explanation.
Well, we want to hear what's in your head. I already know whatever apologetics website you're going to click on or whatever study Bible you're going to read from, I already know what it says. I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I can't say anything because, like, I'm not doing, like, deep dives into these passages, right?
You don't need to do a deep dive. Is it justified to sick bears on children ever?
Okay. What this is saying is that these aren't children. It's not. Yeah,
it is. It
does. It says they're young lads. Okay, is how it best translates.
It says the word quoted for use the word youths and
Na'arim. Katanim means little boys.
The Hebrew word can refer to children.
It is referring to children. I know Hebrew, Ray. We talked about this last time. This is not a good place to pretend to know Hebrew.
Or rather, more specifically, means young men.
It doesn't say young men.
It says like Hebrew.
The word na'ar is used to mean young men. A lad is a na'ar. A na'ar is anything between like age 12 and age 20. You can be a na'ar. It's just a young man. When you attach the modifier to it, then they're little children. Under the age of 12.
Okay, well, you're saying one thing and this place is saying another thing. So, like, you don't believe, right?
What are you reading?
Do you want me to read it to you or like send you a link?
No, I want to know what you're reading. What are you reading from? Is it some stupid apologetics website that doesn't actually know Hebrew? They just looked it up in the Strong Concordance?
It's called gotquestions.org. Why did the...
Yes, it's literally the worst of the apologetic website. You could have at least used apologeticspress.org.
Wait, what's wrong with this?
Gotquestions is a trash website. You should stop trusting it.
Okay, well, should we go back to the other points?
Listen, even if they were 15, is it justified to kill them with bears?
Keep in mind that the answer is no.
It says the penalty was clearly justified.
Oh, jeez.
It says that,
buddy, stop reading from the website. I want to hear your explanation. I already know all the trash commentary from the internet. I don't need you to read the internet to me.
Okay, if you
I want to hear what's in your head.
If you were to ask me, then like my first thought would be no, because I
exactly don't
know the passage.
Because you have a brain.
Well, I also like don't know the passage, so like I don't think that means anything.
Do you think for yourself? Because it sounds like you're trying not to think for yourself.
Right.
I can't think for myself in like the 2 seconds I get to respond, which is why I have to like look for like other sources to explain the passage.
Right. I have a different question that gets to the heart of what we're talking about here. I'm pretty sure that you think there are really terrible people in this world. Because I do. And I think everybody does. Do you wish right now that all the terrible people in the world would die in just horrendous ways? Or do you wish that you could just make them not be bad people anymore?
Option 2.
Okay. God can't. So when you say it's justified that God used these bears to do whatever, we could say the same thing about all the bad people that are in the world today, except you didn't use that as a justification for doing something just horrendous to them. Instead, you said, why don't we just make the bad people stop being bad people? God has that kind of power. God's hardened hearts before. So God could have hardened these young lads' hearts to be in a different way. He could just make them not do what they're, or he could have protected Elijah. He could have given him, you know, level 26 Angkor armor so that no matter what the lads did, all their blows would just be deflected, you know, or something like that, you know, to show the might of God, and nobody would have to be hurt or mauled in any kind of way. Instead, God acts on a kind of primal barbarism, which, again, is completely inconsistent with even the way you think about what it means to be just and to judge accordingly and act moral and stop harm in this world. So when whatever you're reading says that it was justified, just keep in mind that if God can do anything, God can choose to do different things. But instead, this God chooses to act in pretty disgusting ways.
Okay, two things. Yes, I agree that God can, he can mind control everyone, right, and make sure everyone can, everyone's a good person. But that's just simply not what the Bible teaches, right? This is the system. What we have now is the system that God set up, and
I'm lost. Did Eric say that God should mind control everybody?
No, he's saying that God could have made the children not mock Elijah, or just made them good people, right?
Right. That's mind
one
control.
Of the things that God could have done.
Right.
Wouldn't that just be controlling their minds so that they don't be bad people? I don't know what you're trying to say.
I mean, in this case, it could be that. But what I also said is, God could have just made Elisha invincible. Could have been another thing to demonstrate his power. Again, that's another option. If you don't like mind control.
If God really cared about the children, he could have, when Elisha was teased by them, he could have empowered Elisha to do a really awesome, amazing magic trick that would blow all their minds, and then they would have been followers of Yahweh forever. But he didn't do that. He went with the bears.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that God could have done. We could say God could have, but I don't see what's the conclusion from this?
That God is a moral
monster. That God's
monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he doesn't do what we think he could have done?
No, because he needlessly inflicts the most horrific punishments on undeserving candidates. Do you think getting torn apart by bears is a good time?
No, but
do you think it's proportional to the crime?
I think needless is kind of a vague term, right? Because he's...
Should punishments be proportional to the crime, though?
Here he's... Okay.
But, Ray, just answer the question. Should punishments be proportional to the crime?
I think in a legal sense, yes.
Okay. Do you think that little children should be torn apart by bears for acting like little children?
No.
No. And even if... Whatever that commentary you're going to read is going to say that they were young lads, which could mean they were old teenagers. And as the poet, whatever his name is, from the School of My Chemical Romance said, teenagers scare the living shit out of me. You know, they're going to say, well, you know, the bears had to go in there and tear shit. This is the second time we've talked about duh bears tonight. And so God had to do that. It's like, absolutely not, because again, Elisha could have just performed a miracle that made all them go, oh, geez, we didn't know. And then they repent in their wicked ways. God knows exactly how to do that. But instead, God just says, I don't know, bears, I guess.
Okay, I'm just going to give you my take on this specific passage. I think what happened here was, like, the kids or the young men, they were, like, insulting Elijah, who was a prophet from God. So? They were insulting God directly. And then...
No, they weren't. They were insulting Elisha.
Well, Elisha's a prophet, and back then, prophets were, like, directly...
Do they know that?
Well, I have no idea.
Probably not. Well, he said he's going to give us his take, and I'm sure it'll still be bad, so let's hear it.
Dude, now you're making me not want to give my take, but okay, I'll continue. So what God did here was just demonstrating, like, his justice, right? He's punishing people for their sin.
Injustice, you mean? Like, you just told me that punishments need to be proportional to the crime. Didn't those words leave your mouth?
Well, I think punishments need to be proportional to the crime in, like, the society we live in, but God can choose whatever punishment he wants.
Okay, so God can punish anybody with any punishment he wants to. God doesn't have to give you proportional punishments.
Right.
Okay, so his punishments also are arbitrary, then.
Yeah, there's just no such thing as right and wrong, and if we go with this.
Deciding proportional, right?
Yeah, this is crazy. So God's punishments, then, are completely arbitrary. He could punish anybody in any way for any sin.
Yes.
Okay.
So then it's arbitrary. It's not justice. Justice is not arbitrary.
No, God's justice is that he punishes people for their sins.
But not proportionally.
Well, what's proportionally, right? That's a
rough. So were there other people in Bethel that sinned that day?
In Bethel?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Did God have bears tear them apart?
I mean, it's not in the story, but I don't think so.
Right, because the town of Bethel didn't get utterly destroyed by bears. They still existed in the Bible. So that means it's arbitrary. If you're just saying, well, the boys sinned, therefore they should be destroyed by bears, guess what? Everybody sinned, and they didn't get destroyed by bears. You're just describing arbitrary justice, and arbitrary justice isn't justice.
What do you mean arbitrary? Wait, why is
if everybody if everybody sins... And you pick and choose when they get punished, that means it's arbitrary.
And
there's no method. There's no system.
You pick and choose when they get punished.
What?
That's what I'm telling you. So if everybody is a sinner and therefore everybody deserves punishment, but he actually only punishes some and some quite horrifically, and then he doesn't punish others, that means... that his system of justice is just arbitrary.
He does punish others, though.
But he doesn't. Not with bears.
Yeah, not with bears, maybe, but he does, though.
There you go. I've never been punished by bears, and I bet I've did worse things than these boys.
Like, imagine if the justice system worked this way. We had our wheelers, dealer, big whatever wheel of punishments, and it's like, okay, case 498621, you shoplifted a piece of gum. Electric chair. Okay, what's it? Hitler? Okay. You have to say that you're really sorry. You know, this capricious and arbitrary way of doling out punishments is in nobody's imagination what justice looks like, unless you just very arbitrarily proclaim that God is the means by which... morality is carried out, by which judgment and punishment is carried out, then, I mean, okay, you're welcome to believe that, but it allows you to make excuses for anything.
So why do you think that, like, God, right, and, like, all his wisdom, omniscience, and power, why do you think his, like, form of justice should, like, agree with, like, me, like, my version of justice?
But it doesn't agree with logic, is what I'm saying. You already agreed that it's just to punish people proportional to their crimes. And then you just said God doesn't do that, which means God's not just.
I think
like, so. I mean, does logic, does like the word justice have a definition?
I just don't think it agrees with what we think is just.
How could we possibly know what is just? How could we possibly have a legal system if we have no idea what justice is?
Because we have the Bible and God's
why do you prefer, would you prefer to live in a legal system where everybody is judged appropriately according to their deeds, what the punishment is going to be? Or would you prefer to live in a system where you can just get mauled by bears any day of the week for any reason? Which one do you prefer?
Option one.
Yeah, obviously, which means you don't like the system that God set up. Why? Why don't you like the system God lives in?
Well, there's a difference between what God is allowed to do and what we are told to do, like what God tells us to do.
There you go. So God doesn't have to. God has no form of justice. Just say it.
Well, I'm literally trying
to say, let the words leave your mouth. God is not justice. God is arbitrary. He does what he wants when he wants.
But I disagree. I think God doing what he wants and when
what
he
is the definition of just? What's the definition of it, Ray?
Do you want me to Google it? Based on or behaving according to what's morally right and fair.
Right, morally right and fair, meaning punishments are proportional to the crimes. That's what it means to be just. You've described a God that is
part, though.
You've described a God that is not just. He's not fair. He's not proportional.
Or maybe he just, maybe what you think is fair is not the same as what God thinks is fair.
God has no system of fairness. He will randomly execute people via bear.
Plus, there was a patch update, and a lot of Christians tell us that we're not even beholden to these strict moral laws, or not all of them, from the Old Testament. And so this is the capriciousness of God's justice system and his ability to like be a moral arbiter and all that. If it is just, but it changes on whatever God's whim is, if it just changes with the breeze or whatever, then there's no logical moral foundation in any of this. Again, unless you just say, whatever God does, even when God changes his mind about the way he wants to do things, is the definition of what justice is. And it's like, okay, but don't pretend that it's objective in any sort of way.
Wait, why is it not objective?
Because objective means true in all cases.
Objective?
Yes.
I thought objective just meant doesn't depend on like a person's like relative opinion, like their personal
feelings. Yes, because it would be true in all cases, regardless of sometimes people describe them as being like mind independent or whatever, or like not exactly mind independent, but if it's objectively true, then it's true in all cases. So it would mean no matter what you think or what I think or what Justin thinks or anything like that. So
I think,
but if it's true in all cases, but God changes what his moral rules are and the punishments for them, then it's not objective. It's not true in all cases.
I think we're like confusing God's judgment on people and the way that the Bible tells us to live.
We're not confusing it at all.
Because like the Bible is very clear on like how we're supposed to live, and like that part is like it doesn't change based on cases, right? And then,
well, it doesn't matter. You keep like running off to topics that have nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about like why God doesn't actually have any type of system of justice. Like it's randomized.
So you're saying
that's not how justice works. Justice is not random.
Okay, I'm just looking at the definition of justice.
Ray, did you grow up in this cult, or did you find it in your teenage years? How did you find yourself here?
I wish it would be less derogatory when you're talking about my religion. But...
Ray, do you understand how frustrating it is from our standpoint to talk to somebody who it clearly is trying to justify the most horrific things ever described in a book, and your only defense is, well, God can do what God wants. You see how that's like not really a good response? Like if Putin started indiscriminately destroying all of his people over there and just started like lopping heads off and whatnot, and you're like, well, shit, he's the most powerful guy over there. He can do whatever he wants. Like, would you accept that?
No.
Okay, yeah, because just being the most powerful entity doesn't mean that you can do anything you want. Justice still has a method to it. There's still a rhyme or a reason to what justice is.
That's legal justice, right?
It's not legal justice.
God can choose how...
I didn't say anything about legal justice.
Like, God can choose how he punishes people, but... Like, God doesn't tell
But then he doesn't have a system. If he just picks and chooses at random, then there's no system of justice. It's arbitrary.
Well, you don't know if it's at random or not. It just seems...
It is at random.
You don't understand.
Because he executes little children by bears, and he allows other people to get away scot-free doing horrific deeds.
Okay, no one's getting off scot-free.
They are.
That just ignores the rest of the Bible.
There are horrific people in the Bible that don't get mauled by bears.
Okay. But like, what the Bible teaches is that if you don't repent, you really just get sent to hell.
So what you're if making you do, it worse, not better.
What if you do
Sorry, go ahead, Eric.
What if you do oh. horrible things but you repent?
Then you Like, if you do horrible things and then you repent,
yeah,
yep,
then that means you're saved.
So there's no justice.
So there's no justice.
Okay, but God is also merciful, right?
He's not.
This actually sounds like he's very self-absorbed, I would say.
Did we say God yeah. is merciful?
You don't get to say that God is merciful while justifying him sicking bears on young lads. That's not mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not mercy. That was judgment.
But we yeah, okay.
God is merciful because mercy
is a suspension of justice.
Wait, say it again.
Mercy is a suspension of judgment. So he can't be both.
Wait, what I'm saying is that he is both because he like does both. But
he's arbitrary.
I think what the reason you say he can't be both is because he doesn't like, it's like he either shows one in one case or like another in another case.
Well, yeah, that would be the arbitrary, capricious nature of the way God goes about doing justice. But also, like, can you tell me something that's immoral? Not according to you, according to God.
Like anything?
Yeah, whatever anything you want to pick.
Wait, is there like a specific one that you're like hinting towards? Or
I'm not thinking of anything in particular. I just want you to tell me anything.
Okay, one thing that is immoral according to the Bible would be like stealing from your neighbor.
Okay, stealing from your neighbor. So if you do that and then you repent, you're saved?
No.
Okay, well, I mean, you said yes earlier, so I'm not really sure
what's
going on.
More than just, I won't do that again, right?
Yeah, I didn't tell you what repentance is. Earlier I said, what if somebody does something horrendous? I don't think stealing from your neighbor is exactly what we would call horrendous, unless you're like stealing their baby or something like that. or a Charizard card hologram edition. But you said that if somebody does something horrendous and then repents, they're saved. But now, so why are they not? So you're telling me that you can't be saved if you sin?
No, you can be saved if you sin.
Okay. Now, what if you go your whole life and maybe you do a few sins, like have some impure thoughts, but you never do anything horrendous, but you don't even, but you're an atheist like myself. Then what happens?
Then you're not saved.
Okay. So what is the point of these moral laws that are supposedly given to us? If what is the purpose of saying that there even are sins and doling out this moral law, if literally the only difference is if you just do this one specific thing, it doesn't matter what else you did, and it doesn't matter how much you avoid these sins that you're told not to do. If you don't do this one specific thing, you're not saved. This, the justice system here has been completely, like, the equivalent of this would be, it doesn't matter what you did, how severe it was, as long as you got enough money to bribe the jury, you get away with it. And it doesn't matter how menial the thing you did was, if you're broke, you go to the slammer forever. That's the only appropriate analogy I can think of. And I'm just riffing here, but yeah. So what is the point in any of saying that there even are sins and giving moral commandments?
Okay, the point of like the law that God gives us is to show us what is right and what is wrong.
So, but it ultimately doesn't matter as long as you do this one thing.
Wait, it does matter
because Satan hates this one trick.
If you don't know, like,
it's the loophole.
Because if you don't know,
it doesn't,
if you don't have a law,
it doesn't matter.
And you have no idea.
Right.
It ultimately doesn't matter. Ultimately,
as long as you repent before you die, it doesn't matter what you do.
But you can't repent if you don't know the law.
It doesn't matter. You can repent, yeah. You can go your whole life sinning and doing horrific stuff, and then you repent at the end of your life and you're in heaven. It doesn't matter what you do.
Wait, it matters what you do after you repent.
Maybe it does. We're not talking about that.
Let's say it's on your deathbed that you do your repentance, and then boom.
Mm-hmm. I think you're making repentance sound like something that's like way easier.
It doesn't.
We're not saying it's anything.
It doesn't matter how hard it is, how you do it, or anything else. What you have laid out for us is that that salvation only comes through this repentance. So now the question is, what is the purpose of telling us what sorts of things are sinful and having moral law in the first place?
Well, the purpose is that we know what to do when... I don't know how, what layer of like purpose you're going for.
Literally any, because it's according to you.
Okay, a few layers. What was God thinking when he set up this whole system? Like that I don't know, right?
Okay.
What was the purpose for us to have the law? Because that tells us like what God wants, right? So that's the purpose of having this law, right? And then what's the purpose when it comes to like salvation or repentance? We need the law to know what it means to repent.
But Ray, none of that matters. The law doesn't say anything about repentance in Christianity. That it talks about repentance, offering sacrifices of animals and whatnot. It doesn't say anything about repentance and what you think of it as. But I still didn't hear an answer at all to why any of that matters if you can just repent on your deathbed and go to heaven.
Why any of that matters if you could just repent on your deathbed when you go to heaven?
Yeah.
Well, the point is you can't repent if you don't know what you're repenting of.
Your sin, it doesn't matter. Just you're guilty because you lived a horrific life. You're repenting of your sin. You've become aware of it on your deathbed. A minister came to the hospital and you talked about your life and you realized that your life was horrific and you repented. Will you go to heaven?
If you like truly repented, then yes, we believe you go to heaven.
There you go. Okay. So it doesn't matter.
The concept of sin, this blows up the entire concept of sin. What you were trying to say earlier kind of sounded like you were saying, well, it's to like guide humanity or whatever. That's literally like, I would agree. Even from our perspective, we would say that is what the purpose of having things like law, a constitution, rules, whatever. That is the purpose. It's to form a functional society. And this is a little bit off topic, but it's actually extremely important that a justice system is consistent, because when people feel like they live under a system that is completely inconsistent and arbitrary, then there's absolutely no political unity or buy-in to the system, and people, you get bloody revolt out of that. But when you say that's the point of all it, God said don't do, like, I can completely understand why, if you were going to start a civilization, you would tell them things like, don't lie under oath, don't steal, don't do all of these other things. It makes sense. But in the end, if all you have to do is repent and it doesn't matter how much of that you did, then it's all ultimately pointless.
Okay, I guess I have two perspectives on this. The first is that, I just forgot both my perspectives. The first is that, like, I think the problem you guys have with, like, this whole thing is that, like, what it seems like, or what it is that, like, God created the universe and he, like, made Earth and he set up all these rules and then all these conditions you have to follow to
be saved. Not at all what just said. Nope.
But that
had nothing to do with what either one of us said.
But that sounds like deeper down, that's like the problem you have with.
Nope. Not even close. Nope.
Well, if you don't have a problem with the system that God set up, then
there is no system. That's what we're trying to tell you. The system doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter what laws are on the books. It doesn't matter what you think the system is. All you have to do is repent on your deathbed and you get out. There's no justice in your religious system.
Wait, that is the system, though.
I know, and it's a system that doesn't require justice. It's arbitrary.
And the system, your interpretation of the system also completely undermines itself, because a moral system is going to be full of declarations of what you should and should not do. It's going to contain taboos, you know? And so it has that, but at the end, it has this loophole for, well, it's actually only this one thing. That if you do this one thing, it doesn't matter how much of that other stuff you do. So, like, our problem with it is, like, just like the contradictory nature of it. We're not trying to tell you that, well, you know, like, I think it is stupid to have an abolition on eating shellfish, right? But we're not sitting up here complaining about that. We're just telling you that the system makes absolutely no sense.
Okay. So your problem with the system that God set up is because it doesn't make sense, to like summarize.
Yep.
So like you don't see like the point, or like you don't get why God would do this.
It's
illogical. You don't.
I don't
even
understand.
Get it.
We've been trying to get you to tell us, why would God tell you you must do these specific things and not do these specific things? And I'm God, and it would be immoral to disobey me. But actually, if you just do this one singular thing, then actually it's all fine and you're saved. How does that make any sense?
I think, like, it would be arrogant for us to think that we can understand everything that God does.
Okay, so
God's illogical.
We're just throwing up our hands and saying this is kind of like the God works in mysterious ways,
right?
Sort of thing. The only thing you can do here is beg the question and say that God is the arbiter of morality and he's judge, jury, and executioner, essentially.
Right. Like, so if there was a legal system in the USA, like in the state you live in, if the court system said, you know, we've got 30,000 laws on the books, and if you commit any one of these crimes, you might have to turn up before the judge. But if you buy the judge some Mike and Ikes, he'll let you off.
Mike and Ikes.
Is that a good system of justice?
No.
No, because it doesn't incentivize anyone to follow the laws. It just incentivizes them to make sure they know how to get Mike and Ikes.
Right.
And that's the system that we see. Mm-hmm. The one that you've presented us, at least.
Yeah, what I'm getting is that you just don't agree with the system, right?
Okay, so...
No, we're saying it's illogical.
Well, what's...
It is nonsensical. We just explained it to you 15 times.
You said the Mike and Ikes thing doesn't make any sense. Now, we could just throw this back at you. Well, you just don't understand how the legal system works. You just don't get how good Mike and Ikes are.
They're awesome, by the way.
Okay. Like illogical as in lacking sense or clear?
Sure. I mean, like it's contradictory toward itself.
Okay, I think there's a difference between like lacking sense or clear and contradictory.
Well, it's both.
It's both.
Like I can see why like we would disagree or we think it's illogical, but like why is it contradictory?
Because like, it says specific things like I don't know if I can come up with a specific example, but I mean a decent one I guess would be, you know, Jesus says the only sin for which you cannot be forgiven is blaspheming the Lord, right? So if I blaspheme the Lord on Tuesday, on Wednesday I repent, and I really, really mean it, then all of a sudden I can go to heaven, which is basically a contradiction.
Right. No, it's also...
would not be a contradiction because when... Like, I know that specific passage when he says blaspheming the Lord, it's referring to the Holy Spirit, and basically when you blaspheme the Lord, it means you will never repent.
That's not what that means.
That's literally what it means, though.
Mark chapter 3 describes what blaspheming the Holy Spirit is. It's when you see the work of the Holy Spirit because of the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, and then you say, no, that is from Satan. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that would mean you're not repenting. Because you
at that moment, at that moment, we're talking about repenting later.
Yeah, you blaspheme on Tuesday, and on Wednesday you repent.
Yeah, I don't think I can explain it to you.
Right, because you're just going to say words don't mean what words mean. Okay, listen, Ray, I appreciate you coming up. We got to move on to some of our guests that's been waiting, but. It was good talking to you again. We really encourage you to stay up late at night and think why you're trying to turn yourself into a literal pretzel defending these horrific practices, and ask yourself, is this really a God that should be worshipped, or are you just defending this thing because you grew up with it and it, you know, makes you feel good in your tum-tum, you know?
I mean, it just sounds like you're out to insult me.
I'm not. I'm insulting your religion, not you. You're delightful.
And we know that because you disagree with your religion.
Mm-hmm. The question is, how come somebody who is able to disagree with the religion is able to know what right and just and fair is? Why you can know all those things in real life, and then when you see a God contradicting all those things, you're saying, well, but God this, well, but God that. You wouldn't do it for any other holy book. If you read it in the Vedas or the Quran or any other book, you'd be like, oh, that God's horrific. But because it's in your book, you're bending over backwards to justify it.
Does that not make sense, though? Because it's the religion I believe in, so I would want to justify it.
You shouldn't. You should be concerned with what is true and logical, not just holding on to what you grew up with.